Trinity Fremont, we know that faith starts in the home. We also know that it can be difficult to take what we hear on Sunday and live it out in our homes the rest of the week. That's because information alone doesn't lead to growth and change. But information that's reflected on and put into practice is much more likely to lead to growth and change. Join us as we reflect on this past Sunday sermon and give practical starting points to help you live it out, your faith, in your family, and in your community.
Well, officially, happy fall, y'all.
Yay!
Fall!
Apparently, what is it today? Today is the 22nd as we record, so I guess that's officially fall?
It is.
Was it today or yesterday?
No, it's today.
All right. It's always around.
I don't know. We might still technically be in summer for a few more hours.
Happy fall, y'all.
I'm going with fall. I have pumpkins on my front porch.
There you go.
Oh, well, that's the...
That's the kicker right there.
Lacey has decided.
But only if Lacey has it, not if anybody else has it.
Oh, no. My next door neighbor had pumpkins before I did.
But Walmart has Christmas stuff out.
That's disgusting.
Happy winter, y'all. Well, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Oh, that's
Happy
awesome.
Valentine's Day.
4th of July is coming up.
We should just have all the seasons just wrapped into one.
Happy Festivus.
Festivus for the rest of us.
There it is. All right. So it's good to be with you. Good to have an opportunity to connect and just to talk about how God's working in our lives. And so as we get ready to join in this, I know some of you might be joining us for the first time. So who are we? And I'll start with Lacey.
Good morning, everyone. I am Lacey. I have two boys that are 8 and 11 and a half. And then I have a husband who I've been married to for 19 years. And we do have one Boston Terrier whose name is Mila.
Mila.
Okay.
My name is Paul Paquette, and I have a wife and two kids. Would you say the ages?
I sure did today.
All right, I said 10. Okay, well, one's 10, one's 6. I do not have a Boston Terrier, but I am from Boston originally.
Some might consider you a terrier.
hold on.
There it is.
I have a dog. Her name is Lola. Mm. And if you want to take her from me, you may email at trinitypodcast@gmail.com. There you go. One day I'll get this email right.
Yeah.
And then all will be happy.
My husband told me no, I couldn't bring her home. I already
Who,
asked.
Lola?
Yeah.
Oh, you can bring her home.
No, he told me no. He did. He said okay. No more dogs.
'Tis easier to beg for forgiveness.
I'll take your Boston Terrier.
Trade
you
these.
Can't have her. I love her.
Oh, we could trade.
Oh, she's funny.
Yeah, my dog is definitely funny.
Well, I'm Casey. I have no kids, but I've got a bunch of high school youth. And it's been fun to kind of socially distance meet again and do a few more events. We have technically 5 pets at our house. So we have 2 dogs and 3 birds.
Birds.
Yes.
The birds.
Yes. So
are the birds funny?
They're not. It depends your sense of comedy. If you like sarcasm, it's really not your thing. But slapstick, they're good at. Mm-hmm.
What do you do with birds?
Just look at them and go, pretty bird, pretty bird.
See, I'm a music nut, and they'll sing about anything I put on. So
okay.
it's like, all right, someone likes my taste in music, 100%.
Do they sing in German, though? That's the question.
They do not.
No.
I also love music, everyone. They'll laugh at me because I'm totally not a music guy. Sorry.
I'm sorry. I'm really laughing.
I do like
eclectic taste.
I do like music. Like you put on 1920s big band and that'll keep me going all day. But you put on anything like that normal people knows? Like, and it'll put me to sleep. Like I can't listen to music in the car because it just puts me to sleep. I need a podcast or I need a book on tape or I need 1920s big band music.
What?
Oh,
you can
really
rock
fun.
Out to big band.
Absolutely.
I know, it's glorious.
And then it goes, bom.
All right. What is your preference in music on road trips? Or how do you kill time or enjoy time on road trips? TrinityFremontPodcast@gmail.com. I'm Pastor Gerber, one of the pastors at Trinity. And I have a beautiful wife who's sitting beside me.
Hello.
That's Stacy. She's my wife. And we have four children, 8, 6, 5, and 3. And the 8 and 6 are really 8.5 and 6.5. But I got rid of halves after like one child. I'm like, if I can get the year, I'm good.
You got the year. Good job.
Boom.
Can I just say, will you have 4 odd children all at once?
Yep.
Yes.
Yes.
It's hilarious. For about 6 months, they're 2 years apart.
They're definitely odd.
So it was fun this last summer, 2, 4, 6, and 8.
I love your children very much, but so that's just funny that I can
say.
They
are a little odd. Yep.
Yeah. Shall we call them the Odd Squad? They do like.
We probably should.
They do like watching the Odd Squad.
We have t-shirts.
6 months when we can do that.
Okay. We have a whole lifetime when we could call them the Odd Squad. Let's be honest.
I'm Stacy. You already kind of said everything.
You
about
haven't
me.
Talked
oh,
about.
I have a cat.
Yes, Kensington.
You make me talk about the cat.
Okay, I have a cat, Kensington.
I allowed the cat.
She has no ears.
You guys want a dog?
No.
Nope.
Yes. Do we want a dog? Yes. Do we want your dog? No. And when I say, do we want a dog? The answer is, do 5 of us want a dog? Yes. Does one that gets 5.5 votes want a dog? No. So we have Kensington Luna Gerber, who we call Kenzie, and she has no ears, and she's just a goofy looking cat, but
she's a goofy cat.
She's period. Yep. She is a goofy cat.
Supposedly she got frostbite on her ears. So
she was a stray for a few years. She's seems very like cute. She is.
But now when we see normal cats, we're like, oh yeah, our cat's ears are weird.
one of our best friends,
they just look so
one of our best friends in Michigan, they just got a kitten and the ears are like just ginormous. Like the cat could probably fly with those ears. And we're like, oh, that's like
normal cat.
That's like what a cat should look like and not ours.
Yeah. All right.
All right. So how is God messing with y'all in your life? What is God speaking to you, whether it's through the sermon series, which is a difficult one right now, or is it just in life in general? How's God been messing with you?
Well, last week on the podcast, Stacy had brought up the verse from Colossians that whatever you do as working for the Lord, not for men. And that's really kind of shaped my last 7 days on what I've been doing. So, wasn't even, I would say the key heart of the podcast, but that one's been ringing with me.
All right. Stacy brought up the word mindfulness last week also. I have seen that word on so many things, so many things. And I can't even tell you, it'll just yada, 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 mindfulness. And I'm like, oh, yeah.
Have you seen mindfulness much since you said that?
I texted everybody a picture last week because it was in the preschool book order, books on mindfulness.
Yep.
So even our preschoolers can learn about this.
Be mindful. Be mindful.
Be mindful.
Which really, to get a 3-year-old to be mindful is quite a feat.
I'm working on that. We're working on it. 6-year-old.
Yep.
I'm working on it with a 33-year-old.
That's gosh, me. Hudson's 8. Did I say 6 earlier?
I have no idea.
I don't know.
You know what? We'll go back and listen to the tape. Hold on a second.
Rewind.
Let's try it again. Hudson is 8. He just had a birthday.
All right. Hudson, if you're listening, sorry.
Which he does. So sorry, buddy. Your mom forgot.
You could be angry for 2 seconds.
That's right.
And then let it go.
And then I'll buy you a cheeseburger and it's all good.
Be mindful on the cheeseburger.
That's right.
Mindful. Mm. Last week I was on a continuous hevel. I'm not sure if that's the right way of saying that. I was in hevel. I was grasping at hevel. How about that?
There you go.
Well, I felt like everything was hevel. Man, this conversation's hevel.
Yeah.
Shut it off. but I will say that I am now out of my little hevel funk. I have lifted my head above the fog and smoke, and I feel better now. How is God messing with me?
Yeah.
Well, I would say that, I was able to have a very long conversation with somebody who was searching for Jesus, and that brought me out of the fog, actually.
Mm-hmm.
It was that. I was like, after that, I was like, wow, I am no longer in hevel.
Well, and again, that's where, so if you didn't hear the conversation last week, go ahead and jump back in, or back a number of weeks to our discussion on the wisdom literature. But hevel is it's the word we find in Ecclesiastes that's often translated as meaningless. But the actual word is more like smoke or vapor, that when you try and reach for it or grab it, it dissipates, it goes away. It's the ways of the world. When we try and run after the ways of the world, we think it's beautiful, we think it's great, and we go after it, and it's never what we want. And so Solomon was just in this place of hevel, where he just thought everything was meaningless, or smoke and vapor. paper that you'd grasp for and you never quite could get to. And so that's just a, in case you're wondering, like, what the heck is he talking about? Is
that that's some, generally what my wife does too. She looks at me and goes, what are you talking about?
Could you almost say mirage? Or is that not on the same?
That would, yeah, a mirage and something that like you seek after and you, but every time you get there, it just keeps moving further away. It's a little different in that it, you can get there, quote unquote, with Hevel, I think, when you're grasping the smoke, because you get to where you thought you were going and all of a sudden you're like, oh, now I need something different. Yes, I got all the money that I thought I wanted, but it's not filling me like I thought it would. And so now I need to go in a different direction. So, I mean, you can kind of say, oh, look, that mirage on the street, on the road is up there at that mile marker. And now I got there and it's no longer there. So kind of, yeah.
Okay, just curious.
Yeah.
I find it interesting that kind of the turning point was discussing faith in Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's not meaningless, right?
No. That no, that's
when
what,
you're
that was
kind
my
of
point.
Grasping. Yeah. Yes, but when you're grasping for all of this and now somebody's asking questions and God draws you back and says, all right, this is what's important, and you took that opportunity and sat with him and worked through it. But
I'm not sure if we I don't know how much. I mean, you know,
that's what gave you more purpose and meaning again was
one of the hardest part is when you sit down, you have a conversation, and then you're like, mm-hmm. did I say the right thing?
so because you had that conversation on a Tuesday night, right? And then I think correct. It was Wednesday morning, you were like, all right,
say the right thing.
Did I let me here's what I said. Was, is that right? Yep.
Okay, good. Well, see, that was like me going, I think I said the right things. I'm not a pastor. No.
Because only pastors.
Well, no, but I just didn't, you know, sometimes you read the stuff, you read and talk and talk, and then you're like, what did I hear? And did I hear it right? And did I?
Well, especially in this age of like fact checking, it seems like if you said one thing wrong, everything you said was wrong.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's also like to transition us into this week. I mean, that's what it's all about is in the Malachi series that we're in, the focus was faithlessness, that God calls us out of our faithlessness. But we really got to see, does my faith affect those around me? Does the way I live affect those around me? And really the question we finally got to was, does my faithlessness affect everyone around me? Because God calls us out of that for a purpose. It's not so that I can have this perfect faith and my end goal is not heaven, but the goal of my faith is to be a beacon of light into the darkness so that others can see who God is and see how good God is. And so we saw that in the story of Malachi, but we see that all throughout. But so how has, you know, Paul, you had a chance, and you don't know necessarily if that conversation, if it was like, oh, that's the turning point in his life, and you might find that out later. But a lot of times we have these interactions with people that might seem meaningless to them or mundane to them that are something that we can look back on and go, oh, there it is.
Well, I'm hoping that it's more of the planting of seeds,
right?
And maybe later will produce fruit, but I will never know. You know, I chalk that up to almost similar to like teachers. They go through all this with kids, and the kids, you have no idea when they grow up whether or not that, you know, how much they affected. I know that teachers when I was growing up, but I don't think I've ever told them that, or I've never seen them again.
Yep.
But I can go, oh, that person really influenced me, you know.
Yeah. So who has had an effect for you guys here and for you on podcast land? We'd love to hear your responses, but who has had an effect on your faith? And it's probably too much of a question to have, you know, who's had the biggest effect on your faith? And so maybe it's someone that just pops in recently into your mind recently, or someone from many years ago, but just who has had an effect on your faith by living out their faith or by teaching?
I can say mine probably changes from when I was little to, you know, high school to college to those years where we weren't really church going folk until, oh, children, hey, we need to turn back around here. But I remember just being little, there was these two, and I'm going to use the term teeny tiny little old ladies, because they were Florence and Mabel, and they were two of our Sunday school. Yeah, exactly. And these guys are laughing at me. Florence and Mabel, they were two of the Sunday school teachers when I was a teeny tiny little thing, and just their Jesus loves me and their little plastic cake that they would pass around, and we'd sing Droppings, hear those pennies fall. Yes. Yeah. And it's just, it's things like that were so small, but yet here I am as a 40 something year old person. I still remember that, you know? Mm-hmm. And I hope that what we're doing now with our children, that my kids will remember that, that they'll hold on to something like, oh, I remember during our Christmas program, you know, Mr. Vern did this for us. Or I remember during this VBS craft that Miss Lacey let us put handprints all over everything, you know, because then that brings back just a joyful time.
Going back to, was it Florence and Mabel?
Mabel, yes.
Did they also use flannel graph?
Oh, yes. The little
You had a proper Sunday school day.
Okay. then with that, and then the droppings.
Hear those pennies fall.
I've never heard.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It was the best thing.
A different association for dropping.
Yeah, that's what I was
thinking. Yeah, offering. But it was so sweet because downstairs, our Sunday school was in the basement of the church, and we had like our own little altar and everything. And it was just awesome.
I don't remember my Sunday school. Not at all. Yeah. Probably because it was horrible. I don't know. I have no idea. It could have been great. Who knows?
I loved it.
I can't even remember last week. Well, except for Hevel. No, I was just kidding. Hevel. I had a... down in Kansas City, when I was working at a home health agency, the CEO of that company had his faith, God-fearing man. I would like to say God-fearing man. Well, one day he called me lackadaisical. And if you know me, I'm like, at this moment in my life, I don't call myself lackadaisical. I have intention for everything. But man, that really changed. But anyways, because of that word, I was like, what do you mean I'm lackadaisical? All right, fine. But he's the one that was really challenging me to like, hey, you know, what is your faith? Where do you stand on these things? I mean, well, in a mentor teacher kind of way, not a mean, I'm going to, hit you in the head with the Bible kind of way. Does that make sense?
Yep.
But I guess my turning point was somebody actually making fun of me, I guess. I'm not sure making fun of me is
calling you out on something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was only I guess I was turning 30-ish. I don't remember. A long time ago.
That is a long time ago for some of us. Right, Casey?
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, I'm feeling you. Yeah.
Lumberjack.
Oh, lumberjack.
For those of you who are like, what are they talking about? Casey is decked out in lumberjack apparel today, and it's awesome.
I was feeling the fall.
He
is all in, baby.
Yeah, and if you want to have video of this,
yep.
TrinityFremont.com/donate.
It is one of the top five comfiest shirts I have. As like, you know what? It's fall.
Top five. Oh, what's number one then?
Ooh, it's, well, now it's...
Is it a Chief jersey?
That's close. That's close. But like, actually the comfiest shirt I have is the Super Bowl Champs shirt that just came out, because that cotton was like extra soft. That was soft.
Extra cottony.
And then the fact that it said Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl Champs, that didn't hurt. But, yeah, there
you go. But that's in that hard, like, you know, you can't...
That painted on.
Painted on.
It didn't affect what it felt like on the inside.
There you go.
I will say that whenever I got clothes from other people, those happened to be, like, I'm talking about like, hey, buddy, can I borrow your sweatshirt? And he's like, oh, yeah, sure. And then I never give it back.
Yeah.
That sweatshirt, I you know, sometimes it's just like, this is the most comfy thing I've ever. Yeah.
Why did you listen? Why did you give it to me?
Exactly.
That's on you. Yep.
Okay. Sorry, Casey. Influences and mentors.
Well, for me, it's the sermon series of Malachi really has got me thinking on, you know, the purpose is being called out. And for me, it was, what comes to mind is my high school cross country and track coach. And I went to a public high school, so faith wasn't exactly, you know, wasn't talked about every practice or you know, it just wasn't a place where you could. But my high school cross country and track coach, on top of just being a phenomenal coach, and right now he has 6 state titles to his name and has won national awards, so he's good at what he did. And he was also what is called the huddle leader for our group of Fellowship of Christian Athletes, so there was a faith side to it. But what influenced me the most was the fact that he was in a public school setting where talking about faith wasn't really welcome. So it wasn't that he talked about his faith, because he certainly did during FCA. It was how he treated every single person on that roster, whether, because we had some all-state runners and, you know, multiple state championships, and those people definitely got attention. But also the people at the back of the roster got just as much as attention, just as much value. And even today, he's still one of the people that when I go back to my hometown, I've got to see just to talk with him. Mm. And for me, it was treating everyone, whether they look like they have value or whether in that situation it doesn't look like they'll help you a lot, you still treat them like they would, because that's how Christ views us.
Mm. I've had several influential people in my life, but one that, just as you were talking this morning, reminded me a friend in college. I was really blessed with great Jesus-loving friends in college, people that lived on my same dorm floor right with me that really challenged me a lot of ways to grow in my faith and not stay stagnant in college. But there was one in particular who we would talk about deep, heavy stuff a lot in our group of friends. And she offered one day, if you want to talk more about any of this stuff, I'm happy to just like come to my room and let's talk about stuff. And so we kind of had a standing meeting every week and we'd have, okay, what's our topic for this week? And we talked about all kinds of different stuff and what's God have to say about this? And what does our faith have to do with cremation and end of life stuff? And what about relationship stuff and purity? And what does all this mean? And so kind of I was involved in the Navigators. They'd call that discipleship. But for us, it was just, this is our friendship and this is what we do. And this matters to both of us. So let's talk about these things. And just really saw a lot of growth and also learning how to look at different things, everyday life things, but through our faith lens. And how do I sit down and wrestle with this? And maybe there are good concrete answers. And maybe it's just, well, this is what the Bible says. And this is what this issue is. And are we gonna live in that? So I just really appreciated that because nobody had really taken the time intentionally like that with me before. So we talked about a lot of things.
Yeah. And I asked the question and I posed it to you all last night as we were prepping for this, but I like, there's just so many. And I think we would all agree with just the people that we're speaking of are not the only people. For me, definitely the first people that I think of are my parents because they set that foundation for me. Some of the things that they taught me, even without teaching, without using words, but just this is how we live. This is what we do. And just that was huge. But then just things like, I just remember Gordon, who was, he's on the radio still. He's one of the 95.1 MyBridge Radio. He's one of the hosts there, but he was a member of our church. He led Awana, which is like a kids group, memorized scripture, play games. He was always the game leader. It was awesome. But he also cared, like as we did memorization, he was right there. And but then just, it was like really cool to like know the guy behind the microphone. And so just, I mean, him. And then I talked, you know, Honey Lou Bonner, my English teacher, who just had, I mean, she was just the happiest person and just, she just loved life. And so that was, you know, when you're coming into honors, 12th grade English, and it's the first thing in the morning and you have no desire to be there. Like she would change my day every day because of her joy that she lived out. And then, you know, into college, I was in the same group of friends with Stacy and some of the conversations that we had. So they were just all of these people that as I look back, I'm like, you can't look at just one. And that's true, again, for all of us. I'm sure all of us, you know, we picked out individuals, but there are people who have affected our faith that we don't realize. And there are people who have affected our faith in huge ways that we do know. But the reason we asked that question is because one of the stories that we talked about this Sunday was the story of Achan. And Achan is in Joshua. So the people of Israel, they get ready to go into the promised land. And they do, they go in, they fight the battle of Jericho where they march around six times. And then on the seventh day, as they're getting ready to march around seven times on the seventh day, Joshua says, hey, don't forget the gold, the silver, the bronze, and the iron, that all is supposed to be set aside for the Lord. So you can go destroy everything, but that stuff, the gold, silver, bronze, iron, that needs to be set apart. It's devoted to the Lord. So don't take it. Don't do anything with it. Give it to God. And Achan he takes some for himself and he's like, ooh, God won't miss this. And then nobody knows until the next time they go into battle, they lose. And they're like, what's up? And they're able to figure out, oh, this one guy, he took what was supposed to be devoted to the Lord and it brought the anger of the Lord upon all of us. And so we talked about how our faithlessness can affect everyone. And we kind of went, I kind of went a little hard in on families and how easy it is to disobey God, to put Jesus, you know, use him as an accessory that we can put on when we want and leave off when he doesn't fit the occasion, when it might be awkward, to make worship optional, to put sports or other events in the place of kavod, in the place of honor in our lives. But then I also reminded families that, you know, to look to Hebrews 11, because we see all of these people who by faith did all these things, and they're not perfect people. And one of the people that I didn't mention, which I wish I would have on Sunday, is one of those listed in that list in Hebrews 11 is Rahab. By faith, Rahab. And if you don't know Rahab, she was a prostitute in Jericho. And she was the only one, her and her family were the only ones saved because of really just one decision that she made to hide the spies of Israel, because she knew that their God was going to win this battle. And so she kept them safe. And so by faith, Rahab. And so we see her called out, and she didn't live a perfect life. But one of the questions that I then kind of asked was, well, what if you feel more like Achan than Abraham? And so what I want to ask you guys today is, you know, if there's somebody out there who feels more like Achan than Abraham, what would you say to them?
I would say, after my workout this morning, I feel like my body is aching. Oh. Dad joke. Hashtag dad joke number one.
There it is. Thanks, Paul. Appreciate that. No, but if someone feels more like the person who destroyed their family, Achan, rather than Abraham, because that's, as I was preaching, I mean, I watch people, I see their faces, and you see families start to, you see parents start to look down. And I can't see that on Facebook, but you just see that. And even, it wasn't just parents who were there with kids beside them. I mean, you saw some 70-year-olds who went, oh crap, my 45-year-old, he's speaking to me on that. And so if they feel more like Achan than Abraham, what would you say to them today?
So in listening to that whole sermon, even in the moment, it kept calling me back to one of my favorite illustrations by C.S. Lewis. And for those of you who don't know who that is, if you've ever read the Chronicles of Narnia series, the most famous book, and that is The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe. Yeah, C.S. Lewis had this profound ability to take amazing spiritual biblical principles and put them on a very readable level. So I'm a huge fan of the Chronicles of Narnia, but he also wrote books that were just how he interpreted scripture and life. And my go-to one is a book called Mere Christianity. And that book has influenced my faith life in ways that, you know, I can't even picture my life without reading that book in understanding faith. And one of the examples that he uses to try and put a spiritual principle into everyday life is the idea that each of us, it's almost like we're the captain of our own ship. And the first level of that is, you know, when a captain of a ship can have the attitude of, you know, there's things I can get away with. Like, there's regulations I need to follow, but we all know which ones you can get away with. Like, I can skip on this and my ship will sail just fine. Not perfect, but just fine. And maybe over time, for those who overlook those regulations, you'll wind up sinking, but that's just you and your ship. You know, that's between me and, you know, if I go down, you know, it's just me. But we forget that there's, in that situation, that captain forgets that there's other ships on the ocean, and eventually mistreating your ship will hurt others. But then C.S. Lewis took it to a third level. Like, it's not just that there are other ships out on this ocean. Most captains of major vessels don't own the ships they sail. They're put there by the owner. So what C.S. Lewis was trying to illustrate is, if our life is the ship, we're not even the owners of our own life. We're put there by God, and we influence others around us. And his message was, when he was writing that, is, you know, what you do matters, because your life isn't your own and your life affects others. But when I looked at that, I looked at it on another level of, as long as your ship is still sailing, as long as you have life, the story is not over. You have a chance to still, you know, sail better, treat your ship, your life right. You know, the whole message of Achan versus Rahab is huge, because both of them were at Jericho. Both of them were in that battle. And if anyone was set up to win, quote unquote, at life, it's Achan. He was an Israelite. You know, he had witnessed these miracles that God had done. And if there's anyone who by today's standards deserved, you know, to be left behind, it's Rahab. But it wasn't what they had done in their past that set their final fate. It definitely was a part of their story. It's how their story ended that we remember them. And so what I would encourage people, if you're feeling more like Achan in this story, is if you're listening, your you're still alive, which means it ain't over. You still got a chance to turn it around. Yeah, that's the whole message of being a Christian versus being anything else in this world is forgiveness and the fact that it's the story ain't over till it's over.
Forgiveness.
You see, you took my word. As you're talking, this is what's going through my head because I'm like, yeah, you could have done all these, you know, you took things you were not supposed to, but there's still forgiveness that you can ask for. So if you know, like Paul's shaking his head at me and I don't even know why.
Forgiveness.
Thank you. I needed that. Oh, shoot. Yeah, I just totally lost it.
Forgiveness.
I could do my whole spiel again if that helps.
No, but I guess
rewind.
What I'm saying is if somebody's feeling down or feeling upset or like they've lost their way or they did something, I guess, wrong or not Christian, you can ask for forgiveness and try again, I guess, is how I would look at it.
Our kids have weekly memory verses at Trinity. And Landon's this week, the third grade memory verse this week. If anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And that's 1 John 2:1. But if I just like, if anyone does sin, because we're all going to sin,
yeah.
Thanks for your grace in that. But when you sin, we have Jesus, the righteous one, who is advocating on our behalf. So we've messed up how many times before? When we seek him for forgiveness, right? Jesus is already advocating for us because we belong to him. So just that reminder that you're never too far gone. You already have somebody, Jesus, fighting for you and for your salvation. And your righteousness, turn to him and allow him to walk you on a new path.
And Gerber and I, this morning, we're actually talking about a little bit of something like this, talking about the fact that you're on a journey. You're on the journey is the destination. There isn't a destination per se that we're getting to because, you know, it's all hevel. That's kind of just kidding. But it is just that, and my mom used to say that when she found Jesus, she said that, okay, well, the road is a ladder and I'm on the third rung. So now I'll just keep on going up this ladder. And then maybe sometimes I'll go down this ladder. But I guess what I was trying to say this morning was, and again, I don't know if this is right. Don't yell at me.
It's all right. I'll make it right.
Jesus.
Well, you know the way I'm looking at it is that I'm on a journey trying to get to have a relationship with God. I'm going through all these different things, trying to basically get to know him. And that was actually the question I asked Gerber. Is like, I told this guy that I don't know what God's thinking. Is that right? And he's like, yeah.
We don't. He tells us things and he makes things obvious. And we'll talk about that this coming Sunday. There are certain things that God does make very obvious to us in how we should live and do, but we don't know what God's thinking.
Yeah, well, and I said, well, we have the Bible to look at as his word and kind of a guidance, and here's your playbook. But at the same time, I mean, when he asked, because that guy literally asked, he goes, well, do you know what God's thinking? And I'm like, no, I don't have a clue. And so anyways, as I'm trying to get to know what God is thinking, I feel like I'm on a path, on a journey, and sometimes I will look over here and go, oh, look at that, a sunset. Let me just go look over there. Oh, look at, oh, ooh, flowers. Oh, squirrel, you know. But I you know what, I just completely lost my train of thought. I'm just talking now, so.
But squirrel. But just that it is this journey, and I do like journey better than ladder, because ladder makes us look like we're trying to get closer to Jesus, and in terms of, are we more saved or less saved?
Are you making fun of my mom?
No, I'm
gonna take this outside, sir.
I'm just clarifying.
I think different pictures work for different people.
Your Boston Terrier.
I'm just kidding, podcast land. I don't take offense.
Yeah, but that's like that. I like that journey, but that's because one of the things that I was taught in seminary was these two kinds of righteousness, and there's the vertical righteousness, which is our righteousness before God. And Stacy's laughing because she loves when I can bring in 2KR. We have no effect on our vertical righteousness. And that's just basically off and on, like, or off or on, where if you have faith, you have righteousness before God. That's what Stacy was bringing up with Jesus as our advocate. He makes us righteous before God. But then we have this horizontal righteousness where I can have faith and I can live that out really well, and I can have faith and not live that out really well and be righteous or not as righteous before men. There are also people who don't have faith that are very righteous before, you know, in worldly standards, live a great life. But that doesn't get them faith. It's Jesus who gives them faith. For me, you know, how I would respond to someone who says, man, I just feel more like Achan than Abraham. As we look in that Hebrews 11 passage, we see all the by faith and all these great people of faith. But like I said, again, Rahab's in there. So it's not, but not just Rahab. I mean, Jacob and Isaac are in there. Like, there are not, Moses is in there. They're not perfect people. They're people who God used. Moses tried every excuse in the book to not do what God called him to do, but God still used him. And so it's not like this is a list of perfect people, but also notice the effect that they had on others. And so for me, if you're in this, man, I feel like Achan, I'm messing things up. I don't know how to get out of this. Yes, great. I get that I'm forgiven, but that doesn't help me today. My encouragement for you is to surround yourselves with people who you would put on that Hebrews 11 passage. Surround yourself with people whose faith will rub off on you. Because that's, you know, that is one of our goals in life and faith is to live in a way that gives glory to God and shows how good God is. And so if we can surround ourselves with those people, that will have an effect on us. That will have an effect on me. That will have an effect on my family. If I'm always around people who are always looking to others and always seeing how they can live out their faith in the lives of others, who are always seeking to bless those around them, that's going to rub off on me. That's going to rub off on my kids. And so if you're in a place where you're like, man, I can't get out of this. I get that I'm forgiven. I get it mentally. It's hard to sink into my heart right now, but I just don't, how do I take that first step? What do I do? Just be with people. Be with people. Be in a community. And maybe that's come back to church. Maybe that's come back in person and surround yourself. Maybe you're not ready to be in church because of safety reasons. Find another family that you can worship with. Maybe you've been worshiping at home, but you've been secluded and you've been isolated. And that's not, you know, in Genesis 2, God said to Adam, it's not good for man to be alone. And so find one other family that you can get out of bed on Sunday morning, change out of your PJs, find a place where you can worship with others so that you can be built up. And then through that, you will also be building them up. And then participate. Like it's one of the things that we found in our house. It's really easy to just sit if we're worshiping at home and not participate. We tried to get our kids loud musical instruments so that they would connect during the songs, but then they'd be like, they'd sit and fight during the rest of it. But even like the Apostles' Creed and the Lord's Prayer, it's awkward to say out loud because instead of all these other people saying it with me, it's just me and Stacy, and that might be awkward or something like that. Or my kids are listening and looking at me funny. But participate, right? Because it's not just you. You are connecting. You are becoming one with those who are also in their homes, who are worshiping in person. And so build up a community of people who can encourage you in your faith.
There have been a couple times where the kids wanted to open up the windows and shout things out too.
Yeah.
I think we've done that a couple times.
Easter we did. That was fun.
Yeah. Well,
Christ is risen!
We do the same thing in our worship team. We have loud instruments and then we fight during the sermon.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking as you were talking about that, one thing, I guess it's more of a picture in my head is Peter in the boat. Jesus is like, hey, if you have faith in me, come out. And he actually got out and walked on the water. And then in the middle of that, even looking and walking on the water, he's like, oh, I shouldn't be doing this. And started sinking. And then, of course, then Jesus is like, hey, jerk. You know?
Hey, dude.
I think he actually said, hey, jerk. It's there. It's in the Bible. I can find it. Yeah.
It's in the Hebrew. It's in the Greek. Excuse me, New Testament.
Did the words like not translate as well in the Greek?
No, yeah. It doesn't come over. Yeah,
they might have taken it. I mean, I don't know. But I mean, I keep on thinking of that vision of, wait a minute, I was doing this. I see Jesus walking the water. I'm doing this. Then in the middle of that, you just completely just choke. I don't know. Yeah. But it makes me go, all right, if Peter's screwing up all the time and he was like there, he was there in the storm. And I'm like, all right, maybe there's a little hope for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Not as a, oh, good. I can, you know, if Peter screws up, I can do whatever I want.
Well, that's exactly what I was saying. No, that's not what I was saying.
Right. But just to clarify.
Don't write letters.
Or emails. No, do email. TrinityFremontPodcast@gmail.com. But yeah, it's not, I can do whatever I want because other people screwed up, but it's okay. Jesus still is my advocate, even when I do. And it's interesting that you brought that up because one of my professors, one of his big pushes is like, okay, where did they worship? Oh, in the boat. Where did they screw up? Oh, outside the boat. Just stay in the boat. And like the big push of, you know, the book's written, get out of the boat and live in faith. And he's like, yeah, but it was a mess. Stay in the boat and worship Jesus and do what you're called to do. Don't like test Jesus and say, hey, Jesus, if you're really there, make me walk on water. So,
but Jesus asked him to get out of the boat.
Well, because he told him to, told Jesus, hey, if that's really you, tell me to come out and walk on the water. But we'll talk about testing God next week.
See, now since you put that comment. I'm saying, all right, I'm staying in the boat.
But stay in the boat, not in a, like...
Not as a punishment.
Not as a punishment, a but, like, this is where God is.
In the boat.
And that's where they worshiped. When they all were in there, the wind and the waves calmed down, and they worshiped. But again, we can, like, look at individual... Again, surround yourselves with community. And maybe that needs to be in a boat right now.
So if we all get in a boat now, all this social distancing will stop?
Well, if you drive really fast in a boat, all of your particles are behind you.
Okay.
And so just then you're safe.
Just you can be as loud as you want because no one else will hear you.
All right.
A boat, yeah, or a convertible.
How come I keep on thinking that we're going to have like church on a big boat with a big yacht?
I need to go buy a boat. No, I'm thinking of
the, what's the boats with the big thing behind it?
Oh, the paddle?
Ferry boat.
Yeah. I love ferry boats.
But yeah, that usually has gambling on it too, right? So, you know.
Something like, yeah.
Are they ferry boats or
paddle
boats?
A steamboat?
Steamboat. Okay. I want a steamboat. I'm sure that we can get a steamboat on the Platte. I mean, there's seems to be deep enough.
Yeah, I would think so.
And going back to that community of faith, like I one of the things I'm a fairly competitive person, and part of my competitiveness is finding things I'm good at and doing the best I can, which sometimes means if I'm not good at it, I can acknowledge, okay, I need to step aside from this. And that can be for things like me playing football versus me running cross country. It's obvious cross country was the one. I'm all of 5'8" and do not have a quarterback's or a lineman's build. So cross country was the way I was going.
You can come work out with us and then your body will be aching. I don't have the screen on. Yeah,
so. But that can be very discouraging because part of being competitive means we want, at least for someone like me, it means that if I can at least get better and potentially be one of the best in this, I want to keep trying. Well, faith is a lifelong thing that sometimes you're not going to be quote unquote great at. There's going to be moments where you screw up repeatedly. And even with the people you surround yourself with, you might see your mentors or your partners in the faith screw up sometimes big time and where it affects their entire life. I've seen that in my own life. It's tough to watch, but faith is not something you can win or be the best at, or someone else can be the best at. The only person who is the best is Jesus. And so we rely on him. So if someone has a more competitive nature that you want to be better each day or the best you can be, there will be days where you take some major steps backward. That doesn't mean that you should quit this faith life, or it doesn't mean that you should pull back from your group because that community isn't worthy of you. No one's worthy of anything, but thanks to Christ, we are. So if that competitive bone in your body is speaking on it, this faith is not something you win. It's all Jesus.
Yeah. You know, Paul talks about, it's interesting because Paul talks about running a race and running it as though to win.
Not me.
Yeah, I'm not running a race. Casey, you win. Good job.
Man, that competitive edge paid off.
Yes. But so we are supposed to like train and strive and seek to do the best that we can. But at the same time, faith is not a like, oh man, they're better at that. I'll just let them do it. Oh, hey, pastor, you went to seminary. You know, I might get it wrong. I might say the wrong thing. So why don't you teach my kids? Well, no. I mean, I will. But my teaching, you know, I can teach the third commandment for an hour. I can teach the third commandment for a long time. But as a parent, you have way more influence, way more teaching ability by how you live. You know, if I teach third commandment for an hour and then the next week you don't come to church, I've spoken a lot of words, but you've taught more with your action. emotions. And so it can be easy to say, well, somebody's better at this, whether it's, hey, pastor, you do this for me, or man, look at that family over there. Their kids always sit quietly and they listen and they never make noise and they're always there. I wish I could be as good as them. No, I wish, you know, it's more of what is Jesus calling you to and what's the baby step that we can take towards that this week. And so that's what I want. What are some baby steps? What are some starting points in your families this week that you can live out this discussion that we've been having? There's kind of been two, but how can you live differently in your homes this week because of God's word to us today?
First thing that came into my head was maybe identify your strengths as a family, as Casey's talking about identifying his strengths, and he did cross country because he was a runner and talented there. What are you good at as a family, as individuals, as a collective family unit? Are you good at hosting people? Are you really hospitable? Are you an active family and you can go out to the park and make conversations with people there? Like, what are your gifts, and how can you use those gifts and natural abilities to grow as a family, to grow closer to each other, to build those relationships? And then how do we see God in the midst of that? So it may be a faith thing. It may also just be strengthening the bonds of your family relationship too, because if you don't have a strong family relationship, trying to implement new faith things is probably going to be met with more resistance. So if you can encourage the family bond, that will probably reap more rewards later in terms of your faith life and faith walk.
For me, something that's helped it on the individual side of it is having, you could call it an accountability partner, you could call it a mentor, but someone who's willing to look honestly at you and call you out, and you will actually listen to it. Because that can be the hardest thing, is taking criticism and actually not looking at, that person's a jerk, they don't care about me, I'm doing my best. Like finding someone to connect to, it's been a huge part of my life in realizing that I'm not perfect and I can always stand to improve. So for me, it was finding someone that I have a lot of respect for a lot of people, but someone I highly respect that could look at me that I will actually take that advice of. Life-changing for me.
I don't know. The only thing I could say that when you were talking, Casey, the only thing that came to mind when you were talking about that was this. You reach the final bell. I don't know why that came to head.
What song is that?
That's called You're the Best. Imagine
by who? I have no idea.
From the Karate Kid
movie? It's from Joe Bean Esperado.
Okay.
I don't know.
Is it all from right. The Karate Kid movie? Like that final scene? I think so.
Yeah, it's from the final.
The final scene.
Well, the final fights. Before the final fights. Correct. It's when he was going through all of it. Anyways, when you were talking,
I am the best.
Yeah. When you were saying that, that's like one thing I keep on thinking of. So I would have to say, I don't know. I use a lot of music and I use a lot of humor with my kids. I don't really have anything else than that. You saying, oh, use your strengths. Like,
I mean, that is your strength.
I don't.
Huge.
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 It's huge. It's the best. It's simply the best. All right. Anyway, so. So there you go.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to go with, is that.
You're the best.
You're the best. Around.
Yeah. Nothing's going to hold you down.
But like to me, and kind of all that, we're just, community is so important. And that's been the biggest struggle in the midst of COVID is community. I mean, the difficulty of being in community, and maybe for introverts, it's been a little bit better because you can just focus on a few, but even introverts say no, as my wife shakes her head, like
they're people.
But that's right. Because we have, we have four tiny humans who.
And one cat.
And one tiny kid. No, not a tiny kitty. One large cat. On the OM diet, the overweight management diet. But we have these, like, they've been always around. But so, and that is one of our communities, but there's also, we have all these other communities that we want to be a part of and that we haven't been able to be a part of. And so for me, it's okay. Where are we now in all of this, and what should our community look like right now? And it's okay if it looks different now than it did 8 months ago, and then it will look a year from now, because this is where we are right now. God has put each of us in a specific place at a specific time for a specific purpose. And you know, for us, like I am, Stacy mentioned hospitality. That's one that's huge for me. I love just opening up our house and just making food and letting people enjoy life. And I love making sure that that there are extroverts in there because my wife and I are both introverts. And when they're extroverts, they can just lead the conversation and we can just step back and listen. But we can't do that right now. And so for us, we had an opportunity a little while ago in terms of hospitality to just take a friend's one-year-old who doesn't sleep and just bring her into our house and take her for a night so our friend could sleep. And that's that was a very different concept for us, but it was all of a sudden like, oh, we can still be hospitable now. But it just takes more thought than rather that we'll do the same thing that we always do, which is good, but now we have to think differently. So we've been placed in this specific time in this specific place for a specific purpose. And so for us, we're just, for me, I just, what is that community and how can we have an effect on it? And how can it have an effect on us as well?
I like how Gerber just looks at us and he's kind of like, hey. And that's the final word.
And that's the final And with that, let's pray. Dear Jesus, we just thank you that you are our advocate. When the Father looks at us, he sees you and he sees your perfection in our lives as you have given us faith, as you've brought us through the waters of baptism, as the Spirit has taken your word into our lives and given us faith. We thank you that no matter where we are in life, you are with us. And no matter where we are in terms of this Achan to Abraham scale, and I know that's not a perfect scale, but you are with us and you are calling us always to be with you. You are my people. Return to me. And that's a phrase that we'll hear a lot this next week. Return to me. And so God, we ask that you would, for those who are struggling this week, who feel like junk, remind them of their identity, that they are a child of God, that you have made them special and help them build that community that will always be reminding them of that. And for those who are in a good place in faith, help them to surround themselves with others that they might be able to lift up in the faith, that they might shine a light, that they might be a beacon of light in the darkness. So God, we pray all this in your name, knowing that you hear and answer us. Amen.
Thanks for joining us this week. We pray that the Holy Spirit has used this time to focus you in on the one thing that you can practice this week as you live out your faith in your family and in your community. If you found this helpful, feel free to share it with a friend. If you would like to support the work that God is doing through Trinity Fremont, you can text a donation to 1-844-353-5782, or you can give online at www.trinityfremont.com/donate.